Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Frank Knoffels, Senior Vice President at Logistics Plus. Frank, thank you so much for joining us. We had you on the air a couple of years ago, so welcome back to another episode of Business Spotlight. Since it's been a while, can you tell us about your background and how you came to Logistics Plus and the areas that you oversee?
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to be back and to talk with you today. Yeah, I've been with Logistics Plus for just about 5 years now, actually a little bit over 5 years. But I've had a long kind of running history with Jim and Yuri and the company going back to about 2010 when Logistics Plus acquired Horizon Logistics, which was a company that I was running in the past. My background is kind of a wide-ranging background. I've held some senior-level management positions with global ocean freight shipping lines, with marine and terminal and port operations, and the intermodal side, intermodal operations, and then with some other freight forwarding and logistics and warehouse providing companies. And I started way back in the day as a domestic U.S. LTL trucker with a company called Roadway Express. So got a kind of a wide-ranging background. But, you know, really with LP, I really see myself as someone who's kind of not really overseeing things, but really I think my role is more designed to support, you know, kind of the talented teams that we have and you know, as they're trying to create successful outcomes for end results for our clients. But in more recent times, I've spent a lot of time growing our FF&E business and installation businesses and on our warehousing solutions side.
You've been with LP a little over 5 years now. How has the journey been, and would you have imagined the company being where it is today when you began there 5 years ago?
That's a good question. Yeah, so did I imagine 5 years ago where we'd be kind of today? Yes, I think yes. I mean, definitely not in all the specifics, and I don't know that I could, you know, like map out a exact plan, because I don't know if that kind of process actually exists and works, but I think as a company and the people that we, you know, hire and the people that we bring onto the company, we're growers. And so despite all these global challenges in the last couple of years surrounding like COVID and supply chain congestion, I think for us, growth is and should really never be a surprise. It's kind of what we do. It's sort of in our DNA that way. And I think, you know, when you have the right people on the team, that's what happens. So the answer is yes, I expected it. How and where we got here, it's not so much.
We say this over and over again when we do these interviews, but it's always worth pointing out that there's a singular focus at LP, no matter what division you work in, that everyone is in step toward achieving the same goal, and that's what allows so much growth at Logistics Plus. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's funny we say it this way because I've worked at lots of different companies before, and everybody had kind of, you know, the same things, but this is kind of a magic formula here. I mean, nothing's ever perfect, but I think as far as giving people the bandwidth and the, you know, the autonomy, I should say, really to grow and chase things and, you know, be opportunistic, there's a magic formula here that works.
Frank, I know you were instrumental in creating LP's FF&E division and its capabilities. Can you tell our audience what FF&E means?
Yeah, so FF&E is, you know, it's kind of a moniker for furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And really, it's comprised of everything that's kind of held inside a physical space. So, you know, most often, like, FF&E refers to items like and products like chairs and tables and desks and cabinets and beds and decorative lighting, artwork, server farms, specialized equipment, all kinds of things that really designers or architects or other people choose to place in physical spaces to achieve various purposes, things like, you know, for design purposes or for functionality. So there's a common kind of visual we use to describe and define FF&E. So imagine if you were like picking up a physical space, whether that's like a hotel or an office building or apartments or some kind of sports stadium or a casino or anything like that. And you have this in your hand. Now flip it upside down and shake it. So everything that falls out is going to be what's identified as FF&E, and that's kind of what we're supporting as we're helping clients in this kind of vertical.
That was a great rundown of what the FF&E division is comprised of. Is there anything else that FF&E encompasses, and what are some of the solutions that LP brings to that vertical segment?
So when I, as I was kind of describing, you know, what FF&E is, it, you know, another part of this is we LPs specialize in providing the supply chain and installation solutions supporting the FF&E vertical. So we, as we say, it's from PO to install, we do it all. And FF&E projects, like even for the most seasoned customers and clients, are really challenging and full of complexities and unexpected like twists and turns and chaos sometimes. And it really requires the partnership of an experienced company and logistics partner like Logistics Plus. And so we also like to tell our customers, we help you organize your chaos and other chaos that happens to you. So that's really kind of the solution we're bringing into this, you know, segment, and really wide ranging in terms of our capabilities.
Frank, what are some of the challenges that the FF&E division runs into on a daily basis?
So some of our clients, you know, visibility is a big issue for our clients, and we've developed some really specialized software that helps our clients create and helps us provide kind of a dashboard visibility of all of these products. So as I kind of mentioned, everything that shakes, you know, you turn the building upside down and shake all the items and everything falls out. Those all have to be tracked and traced and validated into a space when it's being created and installed. And so it's a huge challenge. You know, you can have anywhere from, you know, 1,000 to 5,000 items going into a specific site. And it really is the biggest challenge of how do we get these items delivered in a consolidated way to provide an opening in as short amount of time as possible for an installed site. So there's a schedule to be delivered for a site to be opened within a week. Having a consolidated way to organize those items, create visibility to know what is on hand and available and delivered and install is really kind of one of the challenges and black holes that we solve for our customers that really support their success in opening these spaces. Again, whether they're hotels, casinos, office spaces, apartments, so on and so forth.
Another point of emphasis that always seems to come into play when we do these programs, Frank, is how Logistics Plus has the edge as far as technology is concerned, and that's one of the big reasons why they do such a great job with their overall customer service. I would imagine that technology plays a huge role in what FF&E does. Would you agree with that?
It is. Yeah, it really is. And customers choose very, we, you know, the technology is available in kind of different modes. So, and I should say modules, right? So it doesn't require the whole thing to be used, but to get the visibility the customers are really looking for, it requires obviously some human manual intervention, hence the great team that we have at Logistics Plus, but also, you know, the tools and the portals and the app, the mobile apps that we have that allow customers to really see and understand, hey, I'm in good shape with this particular project. The dashboard is, you know, 90% green. Everything is looking great. But on this project B, it's not quite as good. We have a lot of yellow areas that are going to need attention. And, you know, our team is behind the scenes kind of helping them change those yellow or red areas to green on their dashboards and through our reportings in the portal.
I understand that under your leadership, LP is now a key member of a global alliance called Mach 3000. Tell us more about that organization and LP's role within it.
Yeah, for sure. So the alliance is really, I'll explain it like this. It's a group of really terrific furniture and FF&E companies in different places around the world and the people that they employ, and they're providing specialized logistics, warehousing, and B2B and B2C services globally for that kind of furniture and FF&E space. So LP is fortunate to be a partner in this group of companies. We've, you know, it's really encompassing large portions of Europe. LP's portion as a partners group is covering large portions of North and South and Central America and Asia and different other places around the world. So customers can really find out more about the Mach 3000 Alliance on its webpage at www.mach3000.com. But we're really a proud member of it. We have great partners in it, and the service is really incredible.
What, in your opinion, would be the single greatest benefit from Mach 3000?
Again, I think it's connectivity and visibility. It's, you know, clients are doing projects in various places around the world, and having you know, a lot of times they'll end up having to say, okay, well, I need a partner in the UK, or I need somebody to do this work in Mexico, or I need somebody to do this work in Cincinnati, Ohio. And really our availability of using the services and then the partners in this network to kind of roll this all up through LP from our side and service those clients is giving them that visibility of, it's kind of a one-stop shop. It's our availability of assets, of transportation partners, of warehouses, of installation teams that bring it all together as a one-stop shop for clients who, again, have these dispersed needs in various places around the globe.
You just gave more examples of why Logistics Plus is not only a logistics company, but a company that comes up with solutions for their clients.
It's what we try to do, right? We're a solutions company. We're not just a logistics company. We try to be a solutions company. So I think what we've developed with these partners has really been powerful for clients who have a great many needs in different places.
Let's discuss warehousing and e-commerce, because they have been some of the fastest growing areas of logistics in the past few years. LP has really made a lot of investments in this area, haven't they?
We definitely have. And I've kind of been in the middle of that in lots of different ways. There's lots of, you know, great people doing different things within the company, but I've been fortunate enough to help us on the warehousing and fulfillment side of the thing. Yeah, it's exciting to see and really rewarding to offer great warehousing and fulfillment solutions to clients. We've opened up several new facilities, obviously in the U.S., but also in Mexico, in Canada, in Asia, and in Europe. So definitely growing, making lots of investments that support client needs as the needs change and evolve.
Frank, take us behind the curtain a little bit in regards to what the thought process is like for LP when they're looking into new warehousing possibilities.
I don't think we go searching for, hey, we don't have a flag, you know, and a warehouse standing up in Omaha, Nebraska, so let's just put a warehouse there. I don't think we approach it from that perspective. I think we're more opportunistic in that we kind of follow where our customers have needs. And a lot of times our customers have the same needs as other customers that they just don't know, right? We're trying to connect dots when we build some of these solutions together. So, you know, somebody may approach us with an opportunity, again, for a new warehouse in St. Louis, Missouri, or a warehousing need in St. Louis, Missouri. And if we don't have a facility there, there may be other opportunities that we've been working on, or other people have a similar need in a similar geographic area. That's kind of how we develop where we have this need. So it's opportunistic in that way. You know, again, we're not looking to go out and just spend money and build locations and set them up just because that's, you know, it seems like a good place to be. We're really more opportunistic in following our customers to those places.
As we've discussed throughout the program, warehousing and e-commerce have grown fast. As you pull out your crystal ball, Frank, what's your projection for the next 5 years when it comes to warehousing and e-commerce?
Yeah, well, first, it would be really fantastic if we could each carry one of these crystal balls around in our pockets, you know, like, so if you find out where those are for sale, let me know how to get that magic item, okay? So there's really no way for me to say for sure, but I see things on the warehousing side in a couple ways, and far from me to, I'm certainly not an expert, but I think there's kind of four themes or trends that we're kind of following in this space. One is that customers are really trying to optimize inventory now, and they're managing inventory to this just-in-time levels that have been very popular over in the late 90s and early 2000s, you know, it's really not an option anymore. Because things are changing and evolving, right? So holding a certain amount of stock is really a necessity for most clients, because if they stock out or if they don't have the ability to do things when they have a customer request and requirement, it can be, you know, catastrophic for them. So I think the JIT model of inventory managing is kind of going away, and it will evolve in a bunch of different ways. I think customers are doing more forward stocking. It's closer to the markets they're selling into. A little bit of the Amazonification of the world. So, and in addition to moving closer to their markets and forward stocking, they're utilizing many more fulfillment centers. So where they may have had, oh, I need a West Coast solution and I need a East Coast solution, they might have now four or five different distribution centers or fulfillment centers they're working with, because it's providing speed to market in terms of their products being able to be delivered in a fashion that is acceptable to their customers. And then third, I think we'll continue to see the growth of like this industrial warehouse space and development in really non-traditional or alternate markets, right? So obviously there's a lot of distribution center business and developments in and around major ports in the United States and major cities, population bases. But I think what we're going to see and what we have already started to see is this industrial development is kind of following the population migration that we've seen over the last 4, 5, 6 years or maybe more. So you'll start to see pop up distribution and fulfillment centers in places that probably weren't even on someone's radar 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. And then the fourth thing that's kind of what I see is like, unfortunately, this price and costing for warehousing and fulfillment service related to all the three points I already said are tied into that also are going to continue to be higher due to inflation, I think due to wage growth, due to construction costs and due to land costs. I kind of think that those cost increases are here to stay, unfortunately, but it's really kind of a mix of all four of those themes as it continues to evolve and grow over the next maybe 4 or 5 years.
Before we move on to our next topic, Frank, one more warehousing question. Where specifically does LP have warehousing right now? And let's make it a two-part question. Are there any additional plans in the works for 2022 or beyond?
Yeah, sure. I don't know that I can name them all, but we have several million square feet across dozens of markets, not only in the U.S., but really, you know, kind of in different places around the world. Certainly in Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, New York, New Jersey, Miami. We're serving Western Pennsylvania and Western New York from multiple facilities, kind of in Erie and in Olean, New York. We have warehousing in Mexico, in Canada, in Europe, in Holland, in the UK, in Asia, in China, in India, and really lots of key locations around the world. You know, obviously we have a map on our website that kind of indicates where we have some facilities. So I'd point customers to that. One of the great things that I will tell you, you asked a little bit about what's going on in 2022 and beyond. We're actually in the process of adding a great new 500,000 square foot facility in Charlotte, North Carolina, or near the Charlotte area, North Carolina. And it's going to be a great facility, brand new, ready to serve customers in the next 30 days or so. So exciting times with that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we're constantly looking opportunistically at areas to expand in. So we'll kind of follow a customer need or requirement as we grow. So we're adding a couple of new supplemental facilities in Chicago and in Los Angeles in different parts of those big cities to help support development for certain customers that are in that area as well.
Let's pivot now and discuss a topic that I'm sure you and your colleagues wish you didn't have to constantly talk about, but it's had such a huge impact on your industry. And that is supply chain bottlenecks and skyrocketing transportation costs. They've been front and center in the news this past year. 2021 was equally challenging, if not more so than 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I call it kind of like a transference of problems in a long string of falling dominoes. So it may have started as one problem that turned into another problem that turned into another problem. And you're watching these dominoes kind of fall over the course of the last 24 months. And it feels like it's in a little bit in slow motion, but it's transference of those problems. You know, it started as one problem and it kind of evolved into another way. The challenges from 2020 were different than those in 2021, but kind of all really related and ever-changing and evolving. Somebody asked me the other day, like, man, this has been a tough couple of years for you. I'm like, yeah, I felt like I've aged in dog years over the last 2 years. So it has been definitely a challenge. And, you know, we thank our customers for the patience they've had, not only with us, but with everything that's happening in the supply chain to make sure that, you know, we can do what we do best to help them, again, solve supply chain problems and create solutions on their behalf.
So as we do this interview airing in March of 2022, what is the single biggest issue that you have to help your clients overcome?
Oh, man, it's coordination. Like, you know, one of the things that before when a customer would contact us and say, hey, I've got some product I really need to move from China to the U.S. or from China to Europe. It was nothing is ever easy, but it was, you know, a much simpler solution. Today, it takes 10 times the amount of effort and energy to make those same things happen. And so for our customers, it's a challenge because when things would change for their end, it really wasn't that much of an issue for us. We could accommodate and make those changes. But now you've got two different sides requiring different changes all the time, whether that's changing flight schedules, changing ocean freight schedules and carrier shipping schedules, departure dates, blank sailings. All of these different things create these huge complexity of problems for everyone. And it's really where we're, you know, really having the right people on the team that ask the right questions and work with our clients to find out where those pain points are for them is really how we've been successful in trying to accommodate that and make changes that are positively affecting them, even in the midst of all of the problems that we've talked about.
I know we probably sound like a broken record in this aspect, but it's very impressive. We mention it time after time after time on this program, the way that Logistics Plus comes up with solutions for its customers. It has to be incredible to be a part of that.
That's the goal, right? That's what we're here to do. We don't exist for any other reason. There's no other reason, you know, as a company that we are in business other than obviously to grow and to provide these solutions for clients. So,
Frank, you've worked with several companies in the logistics and supply chain space over your career. What makes Logistics Plus so unique and so successful in this industry?
I think for me, it's our culture. And I know a lot of companies are saying, saying this thing now, but it's our culture. I think it's our attitude of empowerment and really each employee kind of embodies, you know, the owner, Jim Berlin's, his favorite thought of the day is find a way or make one. And we just talked about this in the last, you know, one of the last questions you had for me. If we, stay true to our culture, keep empowering people to do and make best decisions and create good solutions and be creative and embody this kind of find a way or make one attitude, I don't think we can be beat, honestly. Customers hopefully appreciate that from us. I think they do. It's kind of, signature to our growth. And it's really been what's different, I think, and from what I've seen in other places.
This past August, we know that Logistics Plus celebrated its 25th anniversary. We've talked about it a lot. It's a remarkable achievement for a company that began with just three employees in 1996. On a personal level, what does that milestone mean to you?
Yeah, well, I'm a relative newbie. I've only been here 5 out of the 25 years, but I feel like I've been connected to Jim Urey and the team for much longer than that, obviously through our history together over the course of time. But it's a proud feeling to be a part of a great team and a great company. And all the people on our teams, you know, whether they've been here for all 25 of those years or for the last 2 or 3 months, they really deserve all the credit and should really be especially proud. They're with they're in a good place and with a great company.
Any final thoughts on what 2022 is looking like, both for Logistics Plus and the broader logistics industry in general?
Yeah, well, I think we have to be prepared to hang on for another wild ride here in 2022. The congestion in this ocean supply chain that has been all over the news, that's not going away for a while. And there's several different reasons for that. But obviously, just digging out of the hole is difficult. And we've seen recently in the news where there's, again, I use this word transference. There's been a transference of congestion problems that go beyond the ports. You know, we've seen recently in the news, there's some reduction in the number of vessels being held off the coast in Southern California waiting for berth. But what's happened is now customers 6 months ago, 3 months ago, have figured out, well, I'm going to try to use the East Coast instead. So now in Charleston, we have 30 ships off the coast of Charleston waiting to get to berth. And the problem with that is in LA, there's, you know, multiple very large marine terminals to be able to accommodate that. But in Charleston, South Carolina, there's far fewer terminals, far fewer cranes, far less capacity than LA to do this makeup, you know, make up speed, make up delays and congestion. So I think, you know, that's going to be a big issue, is this transference of delays and congestion and where that bottleneck kind of holds strong in different parts of the supply chain and how it transfers to the next portion. And I think, you know, the other thing is, unfortunately, inflation is going to continue to cause problems. So a lot of these new costs are mostly here to stay. And that's why I think this is going to be, again, kind of a wild ride. I think we're prepared to work with our clients to work hard and collaboratively with them to create new solutions and alternatives. But I think it's going to take much more work and much more interaction, you know, working again in that collaborative way to achieve what we all want to achieve.
Frank, thank you so much. You've been a terrific guest once again. It's tradition for us at the end of our Business Spotlight programs to let our guests walk off with their final thoughts, so to speak. So is there anything as far as warehousing and logistics and the FF&E division that you were instrumental in creating that we didn't cover that you'd like to mention or update for our audience before we wrap up the program?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, we've covered a lot. So I think, you know, the only thing I want to make sure that we do for the audience is just make sure they know how to be in touch with Logistics Plus. And if there's a way that we can help them, we certainly want the opportunity to have some conversations from a consultative perspective to see what we can do. And they can find us at www.logisticsplus.com. So thanks for the opportunity to join you on the show today. I really appreciate the opportunity again to talk and hopefully bring a little insight. I'm not sure that there's that much insight going on here, but certainly hopefully an opportunity to provide some in-depth information to the audience. So thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.